Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Oh, boy.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? Dada. And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge. I'm Anthony Irwin, joined tonight, as we always are, by Raj Sapalu after these playoff games. Unfortunately, this is going to be the last of such episodes for this season. The Nuggets beat the Lakers, and the Lakers season is over. We have a lot to talk about, you know, from this game, obviously. We have a lot to talk about as we prepare for the offseason, and there's going to be, obviously, a ton of discussion there. I tweeted this out, and without getting myself into too much trouble here, I had been told before the weekend that had the Lakers lost their game four and been swept out of the playoffs, that the plan then was going to be to fire Darvin Ham on Sunday, and that you would have exit interviews on Monday. The Lakers obviously lose on Monday. They are apparently conducting their exit interviews post-game with the players here.
Is that normal on the road? Like on the road?
No, it's not. You know, the Lakers wanted to go on vacation, it would appear. But they are doing their player exit interviews now. You would normally also hear from the GM responsible for this roster. He is not, I believe, going to speak tonight. He also has a huge decision on his hands. Coming off of this loss. And so it's going to be interesting to see how all of this unfolds, but we're going to talk about the game. We're going to talk about the season. We're going to talk about the off season to come. But I know that like the first thing that you guys are going to be interested about is going to be Darvin Ham's future. You listen to his quotes and it doesn't appear like he's already talking about the last 2 years in past tense, right? And what it was like to hold this seat. So it indicates to me that he knows. I'm going to do the digging that I can do on the air too here, I guess. But as it stands right now, if I had to bet one way or the other, I think he gets let go. The difference between firing a head coach and not firing him can't be one win. It can't be one playoff win. That's just too terrible a process.
Yeah, it does feel like he'll be gone. And you know, there's a lot to process right now. I was telling you, Anthony, before we even got on live, it's really strange to go from that high to not like that type of game to it's over, right? And you just kind of have to process the season right away. Usually when it ends like in a way that you're like it's a blowout or something like that. But to go out in a game winner is really tough. But yeah, from the quotes and just from the season and from the expectations of the Lakers, it's clear that he's probably gone. I think just once you go down 3-0, that's kind of the indication that you're probably done anyway. So he's speaking like it. It's very interesting that the players are going to speak tonight. I think that's very strange to speak, you know, on the road where a lot of most of the reporters, I'm sure, do travel. But I'm sure, you know, people would have loved to get questions at home. But yeah, I would bet he's gone as well. It'll be interesting to see who becomes the coach. But yeah, I think Darvin Ham has coached his last game as a Laker.
Let's talk about the game first, and we will kind of wait for the news to break on this. All right, really quick. Before we do that, this has bothered me. And maybe it's a matter of Rob learning his lesson. But Frank Vogel literally won you a championship, helped win you a championship, and you fired him a minute after the season ended. You leaked that to Woj a minute after the season ended. And this guy, Darvin, has not done anywhere near the same stuff for your organization as Frank Vogel did. And we're here waiting, right? And I think, again, that says maybe it's a matter of the Lakers learning, because they did catch shit for that when they handled it that way. But like, when you juxtapose the two coaches and the process that's going into this actual decision here. And again, we're all just kind of waiting for Woj at this point. And I have it on pretty good authority, but we'll see. We'll see what comes out of here. But let's start with the game. The Lakers lose to the Denver Nuggets 108-106 in Denver in a pivotal game five. Had they won this one, you really just kind of said, like, man, like, I don't. And you guys can see it here. The second bullet point is that the Lakers aren't that far away, in my opinion. They aren't so far away that this gap is insurmountable. And I know that I've mocked you, Raj, for like the close sweep stuff now. And then if you dare say that it was a close gentleman sweep, I'll mock that as well. But the Lakers did lose two games on two game winners here. They missed 9 free throws in this one in a game that they lost by 2. They, you know, the one game that felt like inevitable, like was, you know, you knew how it was going to go, was game 3. And then they won game 4. So I don't know, like, you've used the phrase, you know, when you lose in the first round, it gives you the opportunity basically to make these giant and the license to do something nuts, right?
Yeah.
I don't think they do. Like, I don't think they're that far away. I you make a couple tweaks. I don't think Rui should be on the team next year. He's not built for, like, this was a bad series for him. I don't think D'Lo should be on the series on the team next year. Kind of bad series for him in this spot. But like, if you could turn those guys plus draft capital into some, like, you know, two-way help and hire a head coach who plays Austin Reeves more than like 30 minutes a game. Like, that to me now, like, you probably have to make up for a step back from LeBron. I thought AD had, like, from start to finish, his best season as a Laker, I think.
Yeah,
and
healthiest.
And like, I don't think they're that far. But before we even get to that, I'm sorry. I just, you know, we'll talk about this game too. I watched this game, and I don't think this is a team that needs a complete overhaul. Like, this team, this is the reigning champions that they're playing against. And I don't walk away from this thinking like, the Lakers freaking suck. They need to completely rebuild it all.
So what sucks is I'm hearing you say all this, Anthony, and this feels like that meme, the I've won, but at what cost? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like this is the thing that I've been trying to preach, and it's a painful loss. I was asking for Denver, and I was hoping to get my apology from Harrison, which I won't get since we lost, lose tonight. But my point was, I wanted to play Denver because they give you a lot of answers to questions other teams wouldn't have. And again, this is a heartbreaking way to go about it. But yeah, I think at Pickup Hoop is a great follow on Twitter, said that we led for 69% of the series. So, like, more than the majority, right? And if you just look at it, I mean, two game winners in one series that ends in 5 to the same player, really on the same shot, like, two different defenders, obviously, in two different coverages. The first time we switched, the second time we had 8. Yeah, and then the second time was 80 in a drop back with Austin chasing over. And again, Jamal Murray hits 2 one-legged jumpers to put you away. It does feel like we're close, and I think just what we kind of prioritize this summer will be important. I think you watch this series, and obviously it's very easy to come away with this going, we need more points. I think that would be the wrong approach, Anthony. I don't know about you. I don't know if you want to get into this part of it now, but just watching this game tonight, Aaron Gordon had 5 offensive rebounds. I'm like 90% sure 4 of them led to threes. 2 of them definitely, one was a KCP three in the fourth quarter, late clutch situation. The other one was the Jamal Murray one that put them up 2, that almost felt like it clinched the game. So yeah, like I think we just need a little bit more high motor guys. Maybe that's just part of it is Vando staying healthy next year. We need a backup center, but I agree with you. I think we're close. I think it's very clear that at least, you know, you Austin, LeBron and AD, and I don't mean to throw Austin in there just to throw him in there. It's just, I think it's very clear who are.
No, he belongs there. He's their third best player. Like, yeah, by the way, the people who've given me shit for saying that all year, you're wrong. Okay. He's their third best player. I don't need to hear it. Like D'Angelo Russell might be more talented. You know, if you value certain things and stuff like that. But like in terms of guys that like to use a phrase that Byron Scott used to use, right? If I'm talking about guys that I want in my foxhole, it's Austin and it's not fucking close. Like it's not close at all. And when you're looking at this roster, and this is a thing, right? Going into this offseason, get me more foxhole guys. That's all I'm asking for because Rui didn't belong there in this series. Vando obviously hurt, so that's kind of you can't talk about him there. I thought Taurean showed that he kind of belonged there. Like if the Lakers could find a way to like in a smaller role than he had to play in this series. But like I will, you know, I would love to basically like go back and find all of the people who yelled at me all year talking about D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves. And I would love to shake all of you individually, like every one of you. I will show up at your house just to shake you and say that this dude's a bit like, I was begging for this guy to get back into the game, begging for him. And I felt like I was begging for him to get back into the game all fucking series.
Yeah, all series,
34 minutes in this one. He played 33 minutes in the one before it. You know, and this is your third best player. And so like when we're talking about like why Darvin Ham is talking about like holding the job in the past tense, that's why. It's because of crap like that, because all over the course of the season, he hasn't believed in this team's best players. But like, you know, this game, you know, you think about the stuff that Austin had to do in the series. He guarded Jamal Murray. Like, I think he probably spent more time on Murray than anybody else in the series. Right. The only person who might come close is Gabe Vincent, but I don't think Gabe Vincent played enough total minutes to actually get into that conversation. So he's guarding Jamal Murray there. He's handling the ball down the stretch of this thing. This is an undrafted player who's making $12 million a year. What's Jamal Murray making this year? He's like $38 million, I think, like off the top of the head. Like, and you know, you look at Denver's third best player. Right. It's a, you know, you have Jokic, who's the best Aaron player Gordon. In the world. You have Jamal, who's the second best player in the world. And then you have like Aaron Gordon, I think is their best player, their third best player there. He's not an undrafted $12 million a year player. You know, like he's not. He does he's small like a things.
$25 million player. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, on Austin, though, it's so incredible. And again, I think we have a lot of time to get into, I guess, the negatives and all that. I just want to push how insane it is. Again, Anthony, this is our season on the line. Austin playing 33 minutes. He finishes a +1. He shoots, I believe, almost almost 50% from the field. But our offense down the stretch is going through Austin Reeves. Like, I think we were live on playback. We're like, give it to LeBron. LeBron's like, I'm dead. Like, my legs are gone. And Austin hits the big three on the right wing, I guess, to put us up 1. And then hits 2 mid-range jumpers. Just incredible that, like, that's our offense still down the stretch. It's just Austin 80. Pick and roll, kind of having, you know, a guard that we trust to put it in his hand. So again, like that may be the series, really, that Austin not playing enough. You talked about Jamal Murray, 13 for 28 for Murray. He had 1 free throw in this game. He gets 32 points on 28 shots. I mean, that's kind of what you are living with, right? Like if you're going to give something up, that the amount of the efficiency that he scored is kind of what you have to live with. He really didn't shoot well all series. And I thought Austin did a fine job on him. I don't understand the minutes down the stretch, but yeah, I think Austin's one of your dudes just going into next season. I think, you know, we'll see with Vando. I still have a, like, I would have loved to see Rui in this role for more than, you know, the 20 or 30 games that we got of it. I would have loved us to have a little bit more experimentation with that. But I mean, we messed up so much this season, Anthony, like early in the year, bringing Austin off the bench and then having Austin run his own units where we just told him to ISO at the top. Like, we wasted so many games of that should have been reps for the playoffs that just became wasteful because they were, you know.
How many minutes did Cam Reddish get in this thing?
Zero.
Like, how many minutes? Like, he was hurt. I'm like, I don't actually believe that he was hurt, but he was hurt and not available in this thing, but he wasn't going to play anyway. Like, he wasn't going to play. That's why he says he's hurt, you know? And like, how many games did we waste on Cam Reddish starter? Not Cam Reddish, like, rotation, but starter.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the stuff that, like, and again, like, as we get further and further from this game, we'll talk about the rest of the season and all of the stuff. But like, playing Austin 34 minutes in this is fireable. Like, it really is.
Yeah.
We are joined by a special guest. It is not Harrison Frost, so you don't have to worry about that. He is not going to come on and demand that you apologize here. We are joined instead by our dude, Aaron. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, Aaron?
Boys.
How you holding up? How we feeling and all that stuff? In a game that had that slim a margin, sucks to miss that many free throws. Sucks to, I kind of feel like, kind of screw up down the some of the decisions on the stretch. It really bites to have Rui out there just kind of wander around aimlessly on defense in some of these key possessions. Mm-hmm. The challenge rules make no sense to me.
I don't put that one on Darvin. I think that's a bad rule.
Terrible rule.
If you win the challenges. Right. If you win the first challenge,
I'm fine giving up the challenge. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's fine. And look, it got the Lakers the ball back when it was going to be two made free throws for Nikola Jokic. So I think that was a good challenge. The timeout, sure, would have been useful after Jamal Murray made his game winner, or it may have been useful before that to tell the guys that they had a foul to give and could have fouled Jamal Murray before he got to the game winner. But yeah, I don't fault Darvin for that challenge. I think the challenge was good.
No, I have no problem with the use of the challenge, right? He won both of them. The challenge is that and it sucks that two bad calls basically cost you a timeout down the stretch of this game. You know, the Lakers had to play at elevation three straight minutes without a timeout there, and they looked gas going into it, you know? And so it was just that was kind of brutal. But Aaron, I want to ask you this. Yeah.
Ask me anything, Anthony. Now's the time. Ask me whatever you want.
Now's why only 34 minutes for Austin? What's going on there?
Mismanagement. I don't have a better answer for you.
Well, because like I go back to what we talked about earlier this year, where I don't know if it was aggregated from an article that I wrote or if it was aggregated from a podcast or whatever, but I caught all kinds of I caught a lot of attention. I don't know if I caught too much shit for it, but saying like it's kind of weird. Darvin just doesn't seem to mess with Austin as much. And people, you know, that I spoke to close to that situation were like, yeah, we don't really get it either. And in this series, in the final two games of the series, he goes 33 and 34 minutes. And in my opinion, was the Lakers' best guard in this series?
Yeah, on balance he was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he was better than D'Lo in total, yeah.
And D'Lo plays 39 minutes in this one. Austin plays 34 minutes. It just doesn't make any sense to me. You know, and again, I think he goes back to the way that Darvin kind of sees the game. And I think it's a blind spot in the way that he sees the game.
I mean, you asked the question why, and the answer is, at least in my opinion, there isn't an answer. He should have been out there more. I don't have an answer for why.
Did he want Spencer, size
Spencer,
on Austin?
Spencer
did
had a good a couple good
Jamal Murray?
Wait, just, go ahead.
Did he want size on Jamal Murray? Was that what it was?
I mean, to be fair, I think Austin probably did the best job on Jamal
Murray.
That's
what I thought, too.
Yeah. So
the contest that he made on that last play was a good contest.
Yeah, and he got, you know, and Joker got a pretty good screen on him. So Austin was kind of trailing. That's Rui's help, especially with that little time left. You can leave the strong side corner to come help, because if Murray has to give the ball up to pass it, there's not going to be a lot of time for somebody else to beat you. And it's somebody who just beat you on one of a similar shot. But to go back to the last question, yeah, I think it was an error. I don't know that the reasons for it matter that much. I think it was just an error not to play, or to play Austin as little as the staff decided to. Like the 41 minutes from Austin in game three, fine, right? The Lakers don't have a particularly strong bench. What help they do have off the bench, to be fair, is guards, but those guys did not cover themselves in glory in the first few games of the series. So I don't understand Austin playing, I guess, I think it was 33 minutes in game two, and then whatever, 34, or I think it was tonight. Those are the two that I have the most gripe with, because we've seen that Gabe and Spencer, Torian's been okay in this series, but Gabe and Spencer in particular were terrible all series. Spencer made a couple shots today, but he's been pretty terrible all series. So I don't know what the rationale is. You're asking me why, and I don't have a good answer for you other than it's a mistake.
Yeah, I don't think there is a good answer. Is like, you know, that's a tough spot. Here's what I do. I think this is a fairer and better question to ask both of you, frankly. But Aaron, I'll since I kind of screwed you with that last question, I'll go back right back to you here. Do you think the Lakers could have beaten the Nuggets in this series had they done correctly?
No.
Even just this series, but like going dating way back, and you optimize this roster.
Well, how far can I go back?
Right to the beginning of it, right?
To the beginning of time? Like,
if we're talking about mismanagement from the, you know, in this series, I'm talking about mismanagement with the over-reliance on Torian Prince, the over-reliance on Cam Reddish that made the Lakers as mediocre as they were. Mediocre at the deadline that they decided that they couldn't fix it, and they didn't do anything at the deadline. So, like, do you think there is any world in which the Lakers beat the Nuggets in the series? Because I think there is.
No, I don't. I do not think so. No, I don't think so. And to be fair, I was in favor of the moves, the offseason. I think the Lakers had a good offseason. It has not turned out as good as we thought it was in the moment. No, I think the Lakers could have won another game in this series, but no, I don't think the Lakers were beating Denver. Even if Darvin had done a good job and optimized everything and taken advantage of the injury luck, which was a weird comment from him in the post game. It's also weird that the team is doing its exit interviews today, which is a little.
Why is that? I'm gonna leave it alone. Like, why are they
vacation plans?
No comment.
We could say it. Like, guys want to go on vacation.
That's not what it is. I mean, yes, guys want to go on vacation, but that's not what it is specifically this time. But comment is going to be my official answer. But yes, guys do want to get to their offseason.
Eventually, we're going to get an exit interview from Rob, right?
I would imagine. Yeah, I mean, and I don't know if this officially counts as the exit interview from Darvin. I'm not sure. I know it is from the guys, but I don't know
might
if it
be
is
the
from Darvin
exit
yet.
Exit interview.
I did not say that at all. That is you yelling into the wind, brother. I did not say that at all.
No, but I Raj.
But no, I do not think I do not think there was a world this season where the Lakers beat.
And I think Raj disagrees.
Yeah,
and no, I think I mean, I'm gonna be like smack dab in between where you guys.
You're gonna be Darius.
I don't know how you look at, like, the Lakers led for 69% of this series. They had a 20-point lead in game two with, you know, in the third quarter with like 6 or 8 minutes left in the third quarter. They had huge leads throughout this series. I think if you switch a few things on the offensive end, if you hit your freaking free throws tonight, you probably win tonight. Game three, I kind of give. It felt like we quit after halftime, but all the other ones, we had big leads. We had a 13-point lead in game one and, like, I think third quarter. 20-point lead, like I said, in game two. And then obviously we win game four. I think there are points here. I think Denver is clearly the better team. I just think at least we showed we're not so far under the bar. Like even though last year I would always call it a close sweep or whatever it is, and I know that goes against everything you guys believe in, but like as I was calling it a close sweep, I still feel like in this one we had more leads, and I feel like we had a better chance if we just got a few offensive rebounds. If every MPJ shot didn't go in, he had 20 mm-hmm. threes this series. Like he had 20 made threes.
Yeah, but in five games. It's the same thing, at least in my opinion. It's the same thing. You can do the same thing in the regular season, which is like, we should have won this game, And if one break goes here, mm-hmm. okay, sure. But this is fandom at its core. That you eliminate the breaks that you got, that the other team's fans are saying, like, sure. If we just, like, how did that happen? And when you lose those games during the regular season, that is just showing you the team is that, right? This is a good basketball team. The Lakers are good. They're not very good. They're pretty good. And I guess this is, and a pretty good basketball team just got beat by a really good, maybe great basketball team.
I guess my only, like, not pushing back, I guess it's just, I think when we looked at this series, even from last year, right, we saw that, I think most people said that LeBron and AD just did not come close to really Murray and Jokic. Like, it felt mm-hmm. like Murray out of body experience last year. And like he did similarly this series, just in a different way, I guess, with the game winners. And LeBron didn't have the legs or whatever it was on the offensive end for most of last year. I felt like this year, AD and LeBron at least came closer to matching Jokic and Murray and even out.
Yeah, because Murray was terrible other than two fourth quarters.
Exactly. And so the point was really, could you get from the other guys, from the role guys? And it feels like the role guys still just weren't up to par. And like that's a tough way to kind of go home, but like D'Lo giving you nothing in game one and nothing in game three, and again 2 for 10 from three tonight, like that's really tough from a guard that you're relying on for high volume threes. Again, Austin just did not play enough. Rui looked like he was scared to shoot for 90% of the series. Those are the margins to me I look at, and maybe we could have flipped. And you can also look at that from Denver side as well. KCP didn't make a three till the fourth quarter tonight. Right. Jamal Murray shooting whatever percentage he had from the series. This felt like more of a, I don't know, second round, third round series.
So, this felt more winnable. You're right. This felt more winnable than last year. My point, I think, in that is that it was because Denver didn't play particularly well. Not that the Lakers did play well. Some of that's going to be Lakers induced. Yeah, I was going to say some of that is Lakers induced, to be fair. Mm-hmm. But I like in the first quarter today, like Denver looked like they didn't care at all. Like Denver just was wandering around doing nothing. And you guys, I heard you guys, I think it was after game four, I believe. And by the way, I loved the 300 reference and Germans bombing Pearl Harbor. I loved that. I've never seen that one, but I know the reference. And you guys cackling and crying laughing was really entertaining to me. Yes, I've seen 300. No, I do not like it as much as you. But I think you guys were talking about would it catch up with Denver, you know, kind of testing the basketball gods and not taking the Lakers all that seriously and playing with their food, so it seemed. And yeah, I mean, it kind of was, right? And I think that is what was, I think that was most of the series, you know, and it's human nature. When you beat somebody, whatever it was, eight times in a row going into the series, it's kind of human nature. I think this series had more to do with the Nuggets not having their foot all the way on the gas more than the Lakers discovered some.
I don't know though, man. Like it felt like they got their best punch tonight, and like it felt like, you know, the Nugget.
Later in the game tonight, I think so. You felt that way early. Like the Nuggets were just like LeBron had a few steals, and I think it was maybe three steals in the first quarter, and they were just like Joker just throwing the ball to LeBron, did like at a skip pass that he just threw to LeBron for no reason.
I don't know. It's hard with this Denver team because they fuck around a lot. Like they've reached that point where the Warriors reached, right? Like you, Aaron, you're really well versed on those Warriors teams. How often they would just have the dumbest turnovers. And yeah. I don't know if it was so much like Denver messing around because it was the Lakers, or if they would have taken some other team more seriously.
Right.
Denver has reached that point where like it requires their backs touching a wall for them to really start caring.
Well, I don't.
And I thought in the second half, the Lakers. How often, Raj? We watched this game together. By the way, Aaron, where were you? Where was biggest game of the season? All Access Lakers, baby. Mm-hmm.
I was actively trying. You know what? Never mind.
No, but like
I was trying. I was. You know. No, never mind. Go ahead. Continue.
We were. Yes, we were all watching that. We all watched that second half. I didn't. Yeah. I never felt in that second half like Denver was just playing with their food, and the Lakers were like
me. They
were no,
mercifully staying in
no,
it.
No,
like, I thought the Lakers got their best punch, and it took another Jamal Murray game winner to end it. Right, another one. Right. You know, to quote DJ Khaled, who I don't really know what he does in life, but like
that's what he does.
He does really well.
That is what he does quite well.
I honestly think a big chunk of the DJ Khaled thing is like people marvel at the fact he's an actual sphere. Like I think there's like they're shocked at like, wow, that guy is actually a handball.